Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today is Tell Del Tuesday, and I've got a wonderful guest for you. He's been with Lifestyles for a very long time. And what's interesting about him is he is one of these individuals that likes to really create his own path. He is a member, has done quite a bit of stuff through Lifestyles Unlimited, and yet he still has a little bit of a twist on his own approach to things. So it's good to get somebody different in here and talk about his ideas and the way he sees things. So with us today out of Houston, Texas, is Chris Funk. Chris, welcome to the show.
Morning, Del. How are you doing?
Very good, Chris. Well, good to have you on the show, man. I've been around for a long time. Do you remember when you joined, even?
I want to say it was 08 or 09, right before I started buying multifamily.
In the intro, I explained to people that you kind of like to walk your own path, although, you do what we do, but you walk it within your own, really your own map of how you want things to work for you. So let's take it all the way back to the beginning. A lot of people here might be just like you. I always said that, in learning, you go find the map that fits your personality and it gets you where you want to go. So let's share with them your map. What did you do before you came here and how did you get involved with us in the first place?
Well, I've always liked houses and real estate. My family are appraisers, so I kind of learned through my mom and my dad how appraisals and real estate work and cap rates and all that when I was pretty young. And then I always worked in industries that were around real estate, like David Weekly Homes and Home Depot. Then I started working for a general contracting company after college. And I really wanted to learn the construction side of the business, the renovations, so that I could better understand how to rehab and renovate because I wanted to own real estate one day. And then I kind of got my foot in the door little by little looking for deals. It's kind of like a scout, like a bird dog, finding deals for other people because I didn't have any money. And then little by little, I started finding private money lenders that would allow me to purchase a home without a credit check, without having a lot of income. And then one day that investor told me that he would make me a rental loan. And that was it. Once he did that, I was in the game as a landlord, and I just fell in love instantly. Believe it or not, I was making $1,100 cash flow on my first property. It was four houses on a piece of land. And I told my roommate, I said, I don't need a roommate anymore, man. I can retire on $1,100. How far I've come, But I was thrilled when I had my first rental. I was like, this is crazy. I have $1,100 a month for the rest of my life. It was just, it was crazy.
How long ago was that, Chris? Do you remember?
Yeah, that would have been in 2008, I want to say, is when I bought that property.
The beauty of that, making that kind of money when you're young, is that you really do realize how much that is. Whereas if, you get up to where you're old and you're married and you got kids and you got bills and you got a house and you got car payments and blah, 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 you go, well, $1,100, that's not going to get me anywhere, right? But when you're a kid, just $1,100 is, that's a lot. So it's a good start. Let's talk about in this situation here, what was your plan at that time? I mean, the first one was just get something, right? I get that.
Yeah.
Did you use hard money lenders, I suppose? That's how you got it. Yeah. Walk us through that a little bit.
The plan for the property or the plan for the future? Which one were you?
Well, let's start out with the plan when you first started it. How did you see yourself making it? Because we're going to take this from the point of view, Chris. Okay, you're now 15 years older. Let's go back. Young kid wants to get into this thing. Doesn't really know what he needs to know. In fact, just like you, I would like to find out how to rehab things to own real estate. Well, I never learned how to rehab things, and I own millions and millions of dollars of real estate. So I didn't see it. I thought the point was to learn how to go get it, how to buy it, and how to operate it. So my emphasis was on operations. Your emphasis was on remodeling. Completely different point of view, but yet we both end up in real estate. You follow what I'm saying?
Right.
So give them your point of view, why you thought that renovations was the most important part.
Well, part of it is just my personality. I love the physical process of taking something that's dilapidated and turning it into something that's absolutely gorgeous that a family can move into. My best days are waking up at 6 a.m. and getting a coffee and going to a construction site and looking at the progress. It just, you know, like a musician loves to play guitar. It was just something that all I loved it my whole life. I started building things when I was a very young man, had multiple tree houses and forts in the backyard. And so that's kind of where my desires were. And I knew that if I could marry that with real estate, it could give me a little bit of a competitive edge if I wanted to start renovating property for rent. And of course, at that time, I needed to build some capital. So I was doing some for flip. And the idea was, if I can do a flip, I can take that cash and I can invest that into a rental. And I might have to do one or two flips to get a rental, or I could maybe sometimes do one flip and get three rentals. But I was using that business model to raise cash so that I'd have money for down payments on the rental properties. And really, I wanted to learn the renovation business, partly because I liked it, but partly because I knew that I could get a better deal if I knew what I was talking about. So in a lot of circumstances, I could do a much better renovation for a much less cost. So that gave me a competitive advantage when I was doing a flip or if I was even doing a rental, because I was working hand in hand with the crews. I speak a little Spanish. That helps. And so that was kind of my general ideas. I just loved remodeling, just watching this old house when I was 6 years old, like my favorite thing in the world. And so that's kind of where it went. But the big picture was I wanted to own rental property. I wanted to own a lot of rental property.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that with us, and I'll tell you why. The average person out there doesn't understand this when they listen to the multitude of real estate gurus out there to choose from, right? Which theory, which plan, whatever. And what I want people to understand, if you're listening carefully, Chris is an activity-oriented person. He doesn't enjoy life unless he's got a project that he's working on that gives him his joy. Then tie that with the fact that he likes to build things. And by the way, Chris, I have a 20-car garage, and it's filled with tools. I mean, I'm a tool guy myself, so I get you. I understand. I like to build stuff. But the point was, it wasn't how I saw myself making money. I'm going to take and rephrase your outline a little bit here by saying, look, guys, what I think Chris is doing is he's using real estate renovations as a job, where I have a job to make money and then investments on the side. Chris is using real estate renovations as his job to make money and then investing in real estate as an investment. Is that fair to say, Chris?
Oh, that's 100% true. I always knew the money was in the real estate, not the renovations. But, you know, when you're 24 years old and you don't have a whole lot going for you and low credit score and almost no cash, you kind of have to figure out what you can do to bootstrap yourself. But yeah, 100%, that's true.
Okay, I'm not putting it down. I don't want that to come across that way. I'm just saying, look, just because there's different people, you know, we're all out there searching, you know. I'm a squirrel looking for a nut. If that person fits your situation, then, you know, here's a different way to scrounge out a nut, right?
Absolutely.
The reason I also bring it up, though, Chris, is how many people have you sold properties to that didn't have that skill set and wanted to be in real estate? And if it weren't for you to go out there and help them by doing the part that they don't have any idea how to do, right, as a contractor, have you contracted for other people to do these things?
Well, I worked as an employee for a company that did that. They mainly worked with real estate investors that were both flipping and renting. I think a bunch of them are probably clients of Lifestyles. I know for a fact a bunch of them are now clients of Lifestyles. But I never for myself did any fee contracting work. Once he and I split, I only worked on my own property.
Okay. So you see that people out there that don't have your skill sets also have found ways to buy and own real estate effectively, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Beautiful. We've got it across. People, I think, can segment that in their minds now. Hey, am I a Chris or am I a Dell? Different approaches. Next question. You told us your plan was to renovate a few, flip a few, and then buy a rental and hold on to it. Renovate a few, flip them, and then buy a rental and hold it. How did that plan work out for you? Just kind of timetable that for us. How long did you do it that way before you found other things to do?
That plan worked out 1,000 times better than I ever thought it would. That plan was the single best life decision I ever made, arguably. It took Well, I'll tell you. So I started in 08 with a couple little one-off rentals, and it was nice, but, you know, $1,100 a month is not big money. And the issue for me was I was buying these properties in, you know, kind of the war zone type of neighborhoods where there's a lot of problems and there's crime. So there was some management involved in that, and sometimes a lot of management involved in that. And when it really changed was because I was building slowly, and then I found a partner that would help me get bank loans where I could get much better financing at much better interest rates. But I was the boots on the ground, and I did not have a property manager, and I was doing all the leasing. And so it became even more of a job. Now I'm not only managing renovations, but I'm having to manage these properties, and then you have the capital side of it, you know, managing the financials and the cash and the cash flow and the contractors and the vendors. And so kind of got to be a lot of work. And I definitely felt the stress of that at one point, especially since I was kind of doing it the bootstrap model and buying just the absolute cheapest, junkiest properties I could find with tenants who would live there. And everything completely changed. It did a 180 when I bought my first multifamily property. That was way more than I could handle by myself, or at least I thought. And so I decided it would be right to hire a manager because we now have a budget for a full-time employee. And so I did that. I hired this lady from the Houston Apartment Association job ads, and it was kind of crazy. I've had employees before here and there, and I could just teach them everything, and they didn't know, and it was time-consuming. When I hired this woman from the apartment ad, she came in day one and knew 10 times the stuff that I knew. She was ready to rock. I was like, this is crazy. How is this possible? I need to double her pay or something. What I found is that that's very common in the apartment business because there's a huge pool of people with experience that have worked in these buildings before. And so I just started giving her more stuff, and she was like, Chris, just don't give me a little here. Just let me do my job. Just get out. And I said, well, okay, I'll go manage all the single family properties. She said, no, just give me the single families too. It's not a problem. We'll just work them in. And I did. And then overnight, or, you know, within a few months, this little transition, I went from managing all of that work to just managing her and making sure that everything was done right and looked good. And it was a game changer. My phone went from ringing all the time to not ringing at all. It was, and that's when the light went on. It's like, okay, this is where I wanted to get to. This is the next level in the game of real estate. Now I can see why guys want to own multifamily and have staff. And of course you have to deal with, you know, managing the staff, and there's some work involved there too. But it was more of a gentleman's game, you know. It was, I didn't have to be anywhere at any specific time. I didn't have to be on call answering every single call in the middle of the night, or not that I got them in the middle of the night, but, you know, sometimes the evening you're having dinner, you got to answer the phone. All of that changed. She even had contractors, relationship with contractors, better pricing than I was getting in some regards. It just changed everything. It was tremendous.
What size was that property, Chris?
That was 70 units.
Okay, it makes all the difference in the world. I remember when I bought my first 64 unit and I put in my first professional manager. I almost ditto the story.
Yeah.
Completely changed my life.
Completely changed my life. 100%. I went from feeling slightly getting burned out to just rejuvenated. And after I had her in there for maybe 6 or 9 months, I said, look, it looks like you've got this thing. You know how to reach me. I'm going to go to Europe and just call me if anything blows up. And she said, okay, have a nice trip. And it was like hard to believe. Like, how can I just leave and go to Europe? I couldn't do that before. You know, I might have to get like a satellite phone and a earpiece in my ear and be flying back and forth all the time, talking, renting, leasing houses. Like, it changed everything. I just went to Europe and I get an email once a week. Yeah, everything's leased. Everything's collected. Everyone showed up on time. Have a great week. You know, it's like, whoa. And, okay, and so the second half of that story was my income quadrupled. So not only did I not have the constant workload, But I had way more money than I needed to live on at the time. And it was like, now not only do I have the time to go to Europe and all these places I've wanted to visit and sit on the beach and goof around, I now have the cash to do it. And this money comes in every month. It's like almost the same amount. I mean, we only took out part of the money we were making. We left a little bit in. So actually, my check was the same every month. And for many years, we always took that check. I had a partner on that deal, but I don't think there was ever a month we didn't get our paychecks, so our distributions rather. So it was just dependable income. It was a high income, and I could work as little or as much as I wanted. I could be involved or not at all. And it was just amazing. It was everything you ever said it was on the radio for 5 years.
Well, it sounds like
I listened to you for years. Like, I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to join. It was everything you said it was.
You know, it's funny because they are identical experiences. That's the way it is. That's what it really is if you do it right. Now, I do have to ask you one question because we only have a short period left on this segment, and that is this. How hard was it to let go when you first got her? That one was hard for me. Oh, my God, it was hard.
Oh, it was very hard. I mean, I tell the story about the travel, but that was just short-lived. Once I was back, I started wanting to micromanage. And it wasn't honestly, though, until recently where I found out how to do that and how to trust people and verify and actually let them do the job their way within my rules. But no, it took years to get the micromanagement bug out of my system, you know.
It's a bug that almost everybody gets in the beginning. All right, we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back with Chris Funk and the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
With a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Walmsley Radio Show returns in moments.
Working hard but still falling behind? Learn how real estate investing can help you build income and move forward with purpose. Text RADIO to 88007. That's RADIO to 88007. Presented by Lifestyles Unlimited.
You're hearing the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. With me here today on Tell Del Tuesday is Chris Funk out of Houston, Texas. Story is very similar to mine. The parallels are kind of freaky even for me. Chris, let's give some context to this. How old were you when you started, and how old were you by the time you bought the 70-unit apartment complex?
I started when I was 26, and I bought the 70 when I was 29.
So you virtually can say you were retired by 29 years of age because you no longer had to answer the phone anymore.
Oh, yeah. And I could have plugged in a management company, third party, and just walked away at that point.
Okay. So let's talk about the moment, because the moment occurs. It happened to me. I'm sure it happened to you. You just had this epiphany. The epiphany was, I can make more money not working than I can make working.
Yeah.
Because these people that know what they're doing can make better decisions than I can make. And I had to add on to that one more, and that is I hired a maintenance guy at this level. I got a maintenance guy that could build or fix or do anything. And it was like I hired an engineer out of college. You know what I mean? No matter what went wrong, this guy knew how to fix it and fix it right. So I had a double epiphany, and that, Del, you don't need to be sticking your nose in every repair. You don't need to be sticking your nose in the leasing and collections and so forth. So your story at that point, what went through your mind? Did it change your plan from that point of view or from that point?
Yes. On? Yeah. And I had the same thing. I hired maintenance, and it was shocking how much the guys knew. Like, he knows how to do that. He can run the sewer machine. He can do these repairs. It's like, hey, he knows everything. It was like, well, now I don't even have to worry about the contractors. To answer your question, I think at that point I realized that I could, basically what you said, I could make more money buying multifamily properties and letting other people manage them than I could buying single family properties and just trying to manage them myself. But I also realized that I could buy more single family properties if I wanted and just grow my management team. And so I wound up doing that for a while because I still wasn't, I guess, as you say, like financially a real strong, you know, my balance sheet wasn't, you know, amazing at that point, but my cash flow was insane and my lifestyle was tremendous. So I kind of just kept going where I was and buying more single. I did buy another multifamily after that. It was a smaller one, 18 units. And that one turned out to be a phenomenal deal as well. But, you know, I kind of always had this grand plan when I was younger that, you know, I wanted to have a rich, full life. I wanted to experience everything I can on planet Earth. I want to see it all. I want to do it all. And I want to have relationships that matter to me. I want to have personal accomplishments that I'm always striving for. Health and fitness was a big thing. And I just had all these things I wanted to tick off that took time and money. And those two are at odds with each other. You know, and if you're raised in America, you're told to get a job, and that's at odds with both of those. You can make money, but you don't get your time. Or you can get your time, but you won't make money. So I knew I had to find a way to do it. And I think I realized pretty early on that real estate would be that way. I just needed to figure out how to get my foot in the door, how to get some capital, and how to make deals with, you know, where I wasn't always having to come up with all the capital or a smaller amount of capital. But I realized very quickly that I wanted to continue owning real estate because that was the solution to this time and money problem. You know, job, time, money. Like, that's a problem. That's like a math equation. You have to solve that. But that's not a solvable equation. So you've got to change one of those variables. Instead of job, you put in investments, real estate. And then now the equation balances. Now it's like, okay, now it works. And so I realized very quickly that that was what I wanted to continue doing because it was the answer.
So how long ago did you buy the 70 unit?
I bought that one probably less than a year after I bought the 70.
Okay, so how long ago was that? I'm trying to get a time frame for people.
Oh, 2012.
12, okay.
Yeah.
So 2012 to 2020, what is it now? 25, holy smokes, 12 years ago.
Yeah.
So 12 years later, you own 10 of these, 20 of these, what happened?
Yeah, everything good, honestly. I mean, we had a few hiccups along the way, but the value of the 17 or the 18 unit probably tripled, I would say. For sure it tripled, actually. I've got the appraisals. The value of the 70 unit, I would say at least doubled, if not more. The problem is our land's appreciating faster than the structure right now, which is a good problem to have. But not only that, I paid an inflated price for it, but if you can impute the cash price that I would have paid for it at the time rather than taking the sweetheart financing, that one probably quadrupled in value. The cash flows, because we're raising rents and, you know, all that, cash flows have gone up on everything. I want to say we've at least doubled our cash flow over the last 12 years just because the rents keep going up. And the rents are outpacing the expenses. And, of course, we refinance when the interest rates make sense. So then you get the expense side down. Rents are up. And, of course, you've got to protest your taxes. That was my big project for this year. And I increased the portfolio cash flow by about $73,000 this year just by protesting my own taxes. So,
wow.
You know, I've just found little projects. I've done a big renovation on the 70 unit. That increased the rents. I did a lot of that myself. And I've just continued buying single families, honestly, because here's the problem, Del. I kind of just got so comfortable with my life, and not comfortable, but I loved my life, that I kind of didn't want to get off the couch unless there was something screaming hot. And as you know, 2013, 2014, 2016, prices were going up, and I was just like, yeah, none of these deals are as good as they were back in 08 when things were $5,000 a door. I guess I'm just going to hang out and wait, you know, because stuff was so cheap back then. And when prices started going up, I'm like, why am I going to give up my lifestyle? I have all these wonderful activities that I enjoy. Why am I going to get off the couch to do this when I don't like the prices? And I would still buy some single families here and there. I had a guy that would run out and buy houses for me and find phenomenal deals off market. did that for a little while, really enjoyed doing that. But I really just started focusing on building my life instead of building my business. And I'm just so thankful that I've done that, because now I have so many things that I enjoy. And I look at this opportunity with today's market as another potential where I'll probably start buying again pretty heavily, because now I think it does make sense to give up, you know, a portion of my time to get back in and become an aggressive buyer again. And this whole thing will just repeat from going from a $25,000 a year job to $25,000 a year in passive income to 50 to 100 to 250. This next cycle, I'm just going to repeat and stack on top of that, and we'll see where it goes. You know,
interesting that you say, because that is a natural thing as a, you know, being a mentor now for 35 years and 5,000 clients at Lifestyles. People, they hit that point of equilibrium in their life. Okay, yeah. Now I've got enough money. Now what is it I really wanted my life to be? Those are the next questions. And then you go out and start experimenting. Did you find that what you thought was going to be your life may not have been what you thought you really wanted? Is there any of that in there at all? Because I ran into that. I tried buying a mobile home, because all my friends had mobile homes. I said, nah, I don't want this. I tried buying a yacht. I didn't want one of those. I looked at them and played with them, but nah, I don't want that. Because all of it meant more stuff that I had to take care of. You know, my dad taught me when I was young, you don't own stuff, stuff owns you. And I just couldn't find that to be where I wanted to be. How did you go through any of that, finding yourself and what really brought joy to you?
Yeah, and I would say that I definitely encountered that scenario, the phenomenon of the stuff owning you. I mean, I got, you know, 6 mountain bikes that are, you know, extremely expensive to maintain. I got 1 in Austin, 5 in Houston, a little place in Austin that I go and become a pilot. So I'm maintaining 2 airplanes. It's like, it's a lot to deal with. Constant. It's like you're managing your life. But I think what I did wisely was I selected things that I already had a deep passion for. And I didn't select a lot of things. Fitness, which really is hand in hand with the cycling, and then the aviation, which is hand in hand with the cycling because it gets me to better places. So I picked two, three things that were very synergistic and very tied to my core passions. Airplane enthusiast, Top Gun when I was a 5-year-old kid and all that stuff.
I want to shift the conversation over. What's your future plans now? Where do you see yourself going from here?
Going from here, I'd like to buy 3 to 4 more larger multifamily properties, and then I'd like to buy some vacation properties.
Okay. What do you want the vacation properties for?
I like to travel, mainly for mountain biking, and so I want to get a place in Prescott, Arizona, right by the airport, where I can fly in there and spend a couple of weeks in the summer and just odd weekends out, and that's really the only one I've thought about, but mainly just for a place to go and have all my stuff when I get there.
Okay, so you really want a second home / then you'll rent it out type thing?
I probably won't rent it out. I don't want people messing with my stuff, but if I can get my cash flow up, I think I can afford to do both.
Okay, I got you. Yeah, because I've seen a lot of people think that they can have a vacation home and have time there and rent it out, and it turned out to be a good investment. And I've not seen that to work out quite as tightly as they thought it would be in many cases. Sometimes it works, but I think if you have an underlying desire that you want it to be for you, then I think you can't go wrong. Everything I've ever bought for myself, I've told myself, this is not an investment, this is consumption. Yep. And then when I sell it on the other side and I get my money back, I go, well, that was pretty good. I like that.
I totally, 100%, Dale. I echo everything you just said.
I didn't feel bad about it. All right, so let's talk about this. Now your success level is high. And if you're looking back at yourself, young Chris, looking at what you did, I know the choices we all make are the choices we have to make or we think we have to make based on where we are and what we know. But if you could go back and mentor young Chris, what would you tell yourself to do differently?
Start delegating and hiring much sooner and have your epiphany much sooner, and don't stop buying in 2012. That would have put me in a whole different league today, a whole different league. I wouldn't really fairly change much but about my life. But, yeah, I think just trusting the system a little bit more early on and just leaning a little bit harder into it and maybe picking up a second or a third multifamily through those years would have been extremely beneficial. And learning the people side of the business, that would be another big one. Learn the people side of the business much, much sooner. I think that's what I've done really well in the last few years.
I remember, you know, hindsight's 20/20, Chris. And in 2008, I owned five apartment complexes, but I saw the market had crashed. So I bought five more. And it quadrupled my net worth that between 2008 and 2010. It was just ungodly. And you know what I can only think back and think is, why didn't I buy 10 more? Right?
Why? Yeah.
Why? Why didn't I? There were 50 cents on the dollar. It was a blind man could have found, you know, a speck of sand in the beach at that point. You know, it's there it is. It's anywhere you look. You just stick your hand down there and grab some of it. And I said, I got five. You know, maybe I should be conservative. Maybe I'm not seeing this right. Maybe. And the other one was, and this is interesting because it fits into what you were saying. So it's kind of like we're sharing our stories together here, is that I was able to buy apartment complexes for $25,000, then $20,000, then $15,000, then $8,000. And the one I bought for $8,000, probably the cheapest one, it was a $50,000 door property. The bank sold me for $8,000 a door. At that point, I put everybody else in the street out of business because I could lower my rent so low nobody could keep up with me, and I had totally renovated property. So what happened? Two apartments on both sides of me went broke. And the bank came to me and said, would you like to buy these? And I said, yeah, I'd love to buy them. You know, I paid $8,000 for this one. I'll give you guys $14,000 for that one. And they said, nah, we can't take $14,000. I go, why not? I mean, you know, I'm giving you double what I paid. They go, well, because we have two guys that are willing to give us right now $17,000 apiece for these properties, and you're only going to give us $14,000. This guy's $17,000. Can you come up to $17,000? Oh, God. I said, no, I can't overspend like that, man. That's just crazy. This is a $50,000 door property. I'm turning them down at $17,000 because I had gotten one for $8,000. Does that make sense? I mean, my brain froze. Yeah. And I looked at my partners and I said, you know I'm going to hate myself someday for this. This is ridiculous. How did I ever get to the point where I believe $17,000 a door on a $50,000 door property is paying too much? But it happens. And that's, you know, because we're trying to rationalize for the listeners here. Why would you stop if you just had this epiphany? Things are incredible. You're making money. And then you stop and go, well, prices got a little higher.
Dell, I'm laughing because I know that all too well. And I've had that little conversation with myself so many times. And my takeaway is, like, you know, assuming you're good with the macro trends and the market in general, is there equity? Does it cash flow? Is the debt good? Then buy it. Just buy it. If you got good debt and there's equity and it cash flows, buy. You know?
Yeah, then there's that other little bird on the other shoulder going, you already have everything you want. Why go out and create more activity and be busy?
Right? Yes. Well, and that's the fourth leg to the stool, you know? And I think that's what drives me. Is I have this sliding scale equilibrium set up in my brain where if the benefits of going out into the market again outweigh having to give up a few hours of my fun life, then I'll do it. And I just haven't felt that burn until maybe recently. I'm starting to feel that itch come back where, as you've seen, you know, the market, it's become buyer's market, and there's deals that we couldn't get years ago. And so that itch is starting to burn again, but that's how I balance it and keep myself happy. If I got to go out and just, you know, toil and toil for a deal that doesn't really make a lot of sense, I'm not in it. But if the market's really good,
yeah,
frothy, it's like, this is actually more fun than going out to Durango for the weekend. I can't wait to go tour this thing and make an offer. And, you know, like, that's when I'm always keeping it balanced, I think, that way.
Well, I appreciate you coming on and sharing your story with us again today, and look forward to hearing more from you and see more of your successful stories. The rest of you out there, remember this. It's not just the money. It's the lifestyle. Keep that in mind. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
you for listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.